رنجوں میں بس اسی نام.
24 minutes after 5, Friday morning on our program, As-Safina to Ilal Jannah. The 17th of Ramadan, 1442. Let's welcome our beloved senior Ustad early this Friday morning. Ustad, welcome to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum ma Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussain. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah. Today is Yawm al-Jumu'ah, a Friday during the month of Ramadan, the 17th of Ramadan. Yawm al-Furqan, refer to chapter number 8, verse number 41. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala names this day, the 17th of Ramadan, Yawm al-Furqan, the day of distinction, the day of criterion, due to the fact that the battle of Badr took place 150 kilometers away from Medina Munawwara. The Muslims were ill-equipped, ill-prepared. 313, Habib Ibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the leader of the Muslims, obviously. On the other side, the enemies, the idol worshippers, well equipped, well prepared, approximately 1,000, and their leader was none other than Abu Jahl. And Almighty Allah, on a Friday, as we have today Friday, in Ramadan, as we have Ramadan, and remember 17th Ramadan, as we have, how the calendar has come back 1440 years ago, the second year after the Hijrah, a spectacular victory for the Muslims. So therefore, today is an extraordinary, extra special day. Make qadr of it and appreciate it. Don't kill time. Use it productively, constructively. So may Almighty Allah grant us tawfiq, the ability, capacity, capability to do those actions and say those words that are pleasing and loving to him, Almighty Allah, and to the Prophet Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wala, we focus on chapter 12, Surah Yusuf, and verses 66 to verse 68. Thus far we did. Now 10 brothers went from Canaan, Palestine, to Egypt, and Binyamin, Benjamin, who was the second favorite of Prophet Jacob, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, was there with his father. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam is there in Egypt, a minister with several portfolios. Obviously his brothers did not know about it. He honored them, he recognized them, and he returned the money to them. They received everything gratis and free. However, he made a condition. Next time you come, you must bring your brother Worth, meaning Benjamin bin Yamin must come. Otherwise, you will not receive anything from me. Now, this is the multilateral discussions going on between father and son. How are they trying to convince their honorable father that Binyamin, Benjamin must come Worth? So this is the discussion we will do today. Chapter number 12, verse number 66. They said, father, he has to come. This was the response from Jacob, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam. Qal, he Jacob, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu salam said, Lan ursilahu ma'akum, I will never send him with you. حتى تؤتوني موثقا من الله, until and unless you give me a covenant on the name of Almighty Allah, you take a firm covenant, a pledge, an oath that surely you will take care of him. لا تأتونني به, that surely, definitely you will bring him back to me, and you don't do that trick and stunt which you carried out with Joseph, with Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, illa ayyuhata bikum, except if all of you are surrounded, all of you are arrested, detained, then obviously that's a separate matter, a separate issue. فَلَمَّا آتَوْهُ, hence each one of the 10 sons now gave the honorable father Jacob, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, the pledge, the covenant, took an oath and said, no, we will be 100% sure, honest, and we are giving you guarantee, and so forth. فَلَمَّا آتَوْهُ مَوْثِقَهُمْ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَا نَقُولُ وَكِيلٌ, he, Jacob, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, said that on whatever we said, Almighty Allah is the wakil, is the guardian. If you went to the Arab countries in the 60s, 70s and so forth, even when they sold you something, remember that sometimes you would not have money, or you would not have sufficient money. I'm speaking of 40, 50, 60 years ago. Then they would tell you, take it and go. Wallahu ala ma naqulu wakil, Allah is the guardian. They want so much honesty, so much trust and so forth. No documentation, no witnesses, nothing. And remember, the person would come after a few hours the next day or so and pay that amount. So that is why you say, after the deal has been concluded, Allahu ala ma naqulu wakil, Almighty Allah is the guardian of what we said and what we agreed on. Now he's taking a precautionary measure. Before we speak about this, we should know the hadith, the saying of the master, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatul lil alameen, who was, who is, who will always be the only rahmatul lil alameen, mercy to the entire universe and creation. He, Habibuna Mustafa, Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Al-Aynu Haqqun, the evil eye is the truth. The hadith is authentic in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad. You see you, yes you, your father, your mother, your brothers, sisters, your baby is born, you are very, very young, and then you go and put your photo, Facebook, Instagram, and this one, and that one, on your cell phone, and you advertise yourself. Now that baby, innocent child, masoom child, what happens? People look, and he or she is so handsome, so beautiful. Now the evil eye strikes the... So what happens is, now the child falls sick, one problem after the other. But because of you, because you are reckless and careless, why you went to go show off with this child of yours? Why you went to go show off with that car of yours? Why did you go and show off with that money of yours? And then we invited the problems. So that is what Islam is saying. So he, Nabi Yaqub, Jacob, Prophet, peace be upon him, what did he say? He's addressing his 11 sons now, because Benjamin is going to go with. وَقَالَ يَا بَنِيَّا, oh my sons, لَا تَدْخُلُوا مِنْ بَابٍ وَاحِدٍ, all of you must not enter through one entrance, one portal, one gate when you enter Egypt. وَدْخُلُوا مِنْ أَبْوَابٍ مُتَفَرِّقًا, you must enter through different portals, different gates, different doors, so you do not raise suspicion. One is that you are in a foreign land. Second one is you got some money with you. Third one, you don't know really anybody. They didn't know it was Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam there at that time. So this is a precautionary stance. Well, and he knows, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, that what I'm doing will not change the decree of Almighty Allah. وَمَا أُغْنِي أَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, and it will not change, it will not come in beneficial to you against the decree of Almighty Allah, the slightest bit. But we take our precaution. And al-hukmu illa lillah. There is no judgment except that of Almighty Allah. We know sunset today is 5:40. So we say, no, we're going to make the sunset 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. The whole world can try it here in Gauteng, here in Johannesburg. It will not happen. So the degree and the judgment of Almighty Allah is final and conclusive. Alayhi tawakkaltu, upon him alone do I place my trust. Use the means that are available at your disposal, provided that it is some means that are permissible. So those means at your disposal, use it. Wa alayhi. You see in balagha rhetoric, when you translate here, wa alayhi twice is mentioned, it brings about the meaning of exclusivity. Alayhi tawakkaltu, only exclusively upon him do I place my trust. Wa alayhi, and upon him alone. Falyatawakkalil mutawakkilun. Those people who have iman kamil, they have perfect, complete iman. They place their trust solely, only, exclusively upon him, Almighty Allah. Not on governments, not on politicians, not on maulanas, not on imam, muftis, no. We place our trust solely, only on Almighty Allah. Now they left Palestine and they entering Egypt via the various portals, gates and doors. Walammad, night 11 of them, remember. Walammad akhalu min haythu amarahum abuhum, and when they entered in the manner which their father commanded them to do. Ma kana yughni anhum min Allahi min shay, and it is not something that is going to help them against the decree and command of Almighty Allah, even the slightest bit. Illa hajatan fi nafsi Yaqub qadaha, except it was a desire in the heart of Jacob, in the heart of Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, and he fulfilled it. Fatherly love, although he knows what he crimes his sons have committed, that the same ten, they are the one who dumped, you must remember, Joseph in the well, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, and they sold him as a slave, but still the fatherly love. Parental love is something or not, it does not have ulterior motive. It's a pure form of love. Wa in Allah praises Jacob, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam. Wa innahu ladhu ilmin lima allamnahu. And verily he is a possessor of knowledge because we taught him. Prophets, messengers, alayhimu salatu salam, anbiya and messengers alayhimu salam, peace be upon them, are taught directly by Almighty Allah. Walakinna aktharan nasi la ya'lamun. But majority of the people know not. Now the second meeting with Joseph, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. What happens tomorrow, inshaAllah? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Yesterday, my cousin Ibrahim Ghani passed away there in Balfour. If you study that family, it's very, very ajeeb. Something strange, you know. My cousin Usman Hussein, who's based in Heidelberg now, informed me that Ibrahim Ghani, who's his brother-in-law, married to his sister. Sister passed away many years ago. Fatima, Allah give her Jannatul Firdaus. So, anyway, he said that look at these three brothers, one Ibrahim, then Ahmed, and then Abdul Sattar. All three brothers passed away in Ramadan. And if you looked at them, you will think that, you know, they simple Simon, basically Allah forbid people will judge people. But remember that Almighty Allah loves a certain action of a person who's got Iman and Islam. Allah gives them death in Ramadan. Allah gives them death on a Friday, honorable death. May Almighty Allah grant our brother Ibrahim Ghani to Jannatul Firdaus and the family Sabre Jamil, and all those marhumin who passed away with Iman and Islam. Number two, today is the 17th of Ramadan, Yawm Badr and Yawm Al-Furqan, chapter number 8, verse 41. What happened today in our history on 17th Ramadan quickly? Remember the Battle of Badr took place, and I explained to you, Muslims brought off a spectacular victory, magnificent victory. Second one, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu and the fourth Khalif, successor of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his beloved son-in-law, married to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, his demise and martyrdom took place there in Kufa. We went to the places also where he was martyred and where what happened and so forth. So nevertheless, you must remember that he said that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was martyred on the 17th of Ramadan, the 40th year after the Hijrah. And you might, this is all in Iraq it happened. And on the 17th of Ramadan, our honorable mother Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha's demise took place in the year 57. The greatest Shaykhul Hadith, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu an, performed the Salatul Janaza of Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. So great, great lessons from our history. And remember today, the khutbah from Makkah, the sermon will be rendered by Sheikh Abdullah Awad al-Juhani. So 11:20 South African time on Radio Al-Ansar and on Markaz Sahaba, Sirius FM. And after the khutbah, the salat, then we'll translate the khutbah, the sermon in English, inshallah, then the dua, and then I will go to the Bangla Wali Masjid for my Jumu'ah and Friday lecture and so forth there. Make dua, abandon Durood Sharif, Yasin, Surah Kahf, Surah Dukhan. Read all this. Today is extra special, extraordinary. Allah Jalla Wala grant us tawfiq.
Ustad, it's 19 minutes to 6 o'clock. I don't know if Ustad heard. I'm just receiving messages saying breaking news that Dr. Afia Siddiqui passed away. I don't know how true is it. I'm just relating the news to you, Ustad.
Remember that I did not switch on my phone this morning because it was too special a morning. And if it is true, there you have it, what I'm just telling you. Allah Jalla Wala chose her. And what a day, Friday. And what an occasion, Yawm al-Furqan, to show the world that she died a martyr, and she died on the day where Almighty Allah gave the Muslims victory. And we can see victory is around the corner. See, in India, the Hindus, the idol worshippers, are telling Modi and his regime, resign, resign, Modi. In fact, they even did not allow on Facebook some of these messages to go. Humiliation upon humiliation. So they have become the mass murderers of their own people. Remember that. How many non-Muslims now are saying the Kalima and thinking that, yes, Pakistan is helping them, Saudi Arabia helping them, other Muslim countries helping them. So that is what Islam teaches us. Then you look at the apartheid rogue regime of Israel. Even there, you must remember, it's the last few days, inshallah, of Bibi Netanyahu, both of them, Modi, Netanyahu, inshallah, all will be sent to prison, inshallah, for the crimes they committed against humanity and particularly Muslims. If it is true that our sister, Dr. Afia, passed away, then remember we make dua. Allahumma fillaha warhamha wasakinha fil jannah. Allahumma zukha jannat al-firdaus. Allahumma nqulha min dhiqil luhud ila jannatika jannatil khulud. Fi sidrim makhdud wa talhim mandud wa dhillim mamdud. Ya ghafur ya wadud. Allah Jalla wa la grief give her sister Dr. Zainab and her daughter, her children and her mother and all of them sabr jameel, and Allah make it easy for the family. But still we will point the finger at the Pakistani regime of Parvez Musharraf, who sold her out, and the Afghan regime to George Bush and company. So you must remember that will be an indelible stain on the Pakistani regime and on the Afghan regime. This is what we see, that the hypocrites within our own rank. Allah protect us all.
Anonymous from Durban says, my mother is a non-Muslim, Mufti Saab, and is upset with me that I reverted to Islam. She was not happy with my nikah. She no longer speaks to me. Is it true that I will not enter Jannat since I have disobeyed her and don't have her blessings, Ustad?
Remember, that is something natural. Normally, parents won't be happy that why did you change your religion? You don't have to worry of that. And I'm giving you the verse direct from the Noble Quran. So you make a note of it, my sister. Chapter 29, Surah An-Kabut, the spider. There was a Sahabi, a companion, a student of Mustafa, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, and many others. They embraced Islam. Their parents were really furious and they were very, very upset. They even said, we will not eat food. Then people will say, you killed your mother, killed your father. He said, do whatever you want to. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala revealed these verses. You got it, my sister, my brother? Chapter 29, the spider, and verse number 8. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. We have commanded human being, you must do good to your parents, even if they're non-Muslim. But وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ لِتُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. But if they tell you, and they tell you to do wrong things, like worship idols, commit shirk, polytheism, blasphemy, فَلَا تُطِئْهُمَا. You don't be obedient to them. So you must cry to Almighty Allah for your mother, for your father, whoever is alive. Ya Allah, give them Iman, give them Islam, the sweetness of this Iman and Islam. Don't sever ties with them. Even if they're insulting you, you must show them the akhlaq and the beautiful, magnanimous character of Islam. Surah 31 verse 15, where the son, daughter are Muslim, the parents are non-Muslim, the Quran Kareem, the noble Quran teaches us, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. O Muslim, you must mingle and associate with your parents. Chapter 31 verse 15, but only in things that are permissible. So remember that today is a great auspicious day. So cry to Allah, Ya Allah, that it is the day of Badr, is Yom al-Furqan, the day of criterion and victory. So Ya Allah, give my parents Iman and Islam. So that is a natural response, my sister. You are not disobeying them. They are disobeying Almighty Allah. So you should not be bothered about that too much if they are upset with it. That's a natural response. And I gave you the references as well.
So can I give zakat to a zakatable person who has a TV in their house, Ustad? They claim it came with the house they're renting, Ustad.
Remember, the criteria won't be the TV only. If people have a TV in the house but they can't pay rental, they don't have food, they have the lights are being cut off and so forth and so on, then obviously they are in dire straits. So in a case like that, remember, you give them zakat, provided that they don't have money, they don't have jewelry and all these type of issues. And they are Muslim, so that's fine, that's acceptable. What we say is this. People, today I'm receiving questions. People say my debt are 1 million. One chap told me his debts are 5 million. And now he wants to collect zakat. I said, brother, look at your house. You have TVs. You have internet. You have so many telephones. How many cars you got parked in the garage? Don't you even feel ashamed to collect zakat? People want to lead a life of luxury, sit on their laurels and think of Hadi and watch Hollywood, Bollywood and Robin Hood. And then when they fall into trouble, let me collect zakat. For such people, zakat definitely not permissible. Get rid of all these things. You don't need all this. These are not necessities of life.
Yurik says, AK, it's Yurik here. If I make a profit on my boss because of my time and fuel to get an item, even though he knows the cost, is this considered as interest? What's the difference between interest and profit? Both are making money without hidden agendas. Yurik, Ustad.
My brother Yurik, that it seems that you want to take advantage of the ignorance or the leniency of your boss. One side you say the boss knows that what is the cost price. So we just take round figures that he knows it costs 1,000 rand, but you want to charge your boss 1,200 rand, 1,500 rand. But you saying for your time, your petrol, but if you're employed by him, you have a contract, isn't it so? And what was the contract stating? If the contract stated that you can charge for your fuel and petrol, then it's fine. Then that won't be deception. But normally it will not be like that. So the contract will state you are employed by ABC XYZ company, and for you now to charge a profit for yourself. So remember, it's deception and it is unacceptable. What you are raising, my brother Yurik, is not new. That is exactly what the mushrikeen, the idol worshippers, they told the Prophet, peace be upon him, that when the, read the Quran, my brother, and that is chapter 2, and that is Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, the cow, and verses 275 to 279. So what you are saying is history repeating itself. That the non-Muslims told the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْءُ مِثْلُ riba. This business and transactions and deals, it's just like riba. It's just like the same like interest and usury. That how usury is permissible, interest is permissible according to the figment of the imagination. So business is the same. So Almighty Allah refuted and rejected their argument. وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Chapter 2, verse number 275, and carry on reading till 279. So my brother, let me give you two examples to put your mind at ease. You see, today when you have the big players, so you have America, you have Europe, you have this country, Japan, what have you, so China and so forth. So what will they do? They will build your airport, they will build your infrastructure and so forth and so on. Then, whether you like it or not, they will make the conditions that, see, if you don't pay, then this will happen. If you don't pay, this will happen. And remember, the interest, then compounded interest, then the whole airport or the harbor, whatever, we will confiscate it. That is interest. So where you are imposing upon that person and he doesn't have any say in that matter, because now it is a case of survival for him. So that's why you see the African countries are getting poorer and poorer, because your World Bank, your IMF and so forth have imposed all these conditions. Never mind the principal amount, but even the capital amount they can't pay, the interest they can't pay. So that is why. So therefore, capitalism, interest is condemned in its total form. And Quran said the warning, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْأَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that if you do not abstain and refrain from interest, be prepared for a war against Almighty Allah and the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The direct result of that is the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Look at the world today. 1%, 5% ultra mega rich, and 90%, 80%, 70% suffering. You can't believe. Yesterday the Haaretz carried the newspaper, the Jewish newspaper. What did they say? That even when they open the businesses, 1/3 of Israelis are not going back to job. Why? Because they know what's happening. So you must remember this type of things. Business, I buy from you, Yurik, furniture, carpet, does that. Willing buyer, willing seller. I'm not happy, go fly a kite. You're not happy, you tell me to fly a kite. So you can't do that, because there is matter of survival. So your analogy is incorrect, my brother Yurik. Get away from the capitalistic, satanic system.
I see the brother says, I messaged you yesterday, Mufti AK, about my fancy hearses. It is the cabs where they put coffins in which carries the bodies to the graveyard. I manufacture these and also hire them out to non-Muslims. Is my income halal, Ustad?
That's what I said, but we weren't sure. That the only hearse I know is the one that takes the people, the dead, to the graveyard and so forth. So you must remember, if you are a Muslim and then you are manufacturing these cars, manufacturing meaning you are assembling them, right? The Rolls Royce or the Ford or the Chevy or whatever it is, they will manufacture, but you assemble it or whatever you do. So you are the dealer principal and you are selling these cars. So till day, if you sell it, it's fine. There's no problem with that. The problem will come when you have to write on those hearses. So in the name of Jesus the Lord, oh, you have to write this, write that, write that. So yeah, you have to break the whole thing in pieces. If you are the one who has the possession of these cars, you're selling it and so forth. So till there, everything is fine. But when you have to tune it up, you know what I mean by tuning it up? You have to write all those things which they want, because because you yourself said non-Muslims and so forth. So now you must remember that you, they have to write in the name of Jesus, in the name of this one, that one, then everything is haram. So my advice to you, stay far, far away from this. Surah 5, verse number 2, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, that you must not cooperate in sin and transgression. Yes, you want to sell the car, and then they will paint it, they will do all that, put all their decorations. So then if they do that, then it's fine, your income is halal. But they must do everything, not you, and you got nothing to do with that. You just sold the vehicle to them, so then they can do what they want to, so then it's fine, there's no problem.
I see we've got a new listener, says here, thank you so much, sir, for allowing we non-Muslims to interact with you. My name is Alan. Please explain to me how there is so much of conflict in your religion. Is it not true that your only king is Almighty God? So how do you guys have a king for Saudi Arabia? Do you worship him too? And to who does he pray if he truly is the king? Brother Alan, Ustad.
Thank you, my brother Alan. And I got another good news for all of you non-Muslims and the reverts who just embrace Islam and mashallah, they want to know, mashallah means God willing, Allah willing, that they want to know more about Islam and imbibe and acquire more knowledge. Next week, Monday, that will be the 3rd of May, between 2:30 and 3 South African time, we're introducing a program, Miracle Sahaba Madrasa, and that is for you to educate you what is true Muslim, what is true Islam. Because today the media and so forth, remember, has demonized Islam and Muslims. Take question of Alan now. We say that Almighty Allah is King of Kings, my brother Alan. Who gave you your eyes? Who gave you the oxygen? Who gave you your ears? Who gave you the power to interact with us? Everything comes from God, capital G, Almighty Allah, Kulun Kulu. Call whatever you want to the hearer in Afrikaans. So we say Allah, Jalla wa Allah, the one and only creator, the one and only supreme being. So that is what we all must be believing in. Not only Muslims, every human being who's got justice and conscience must believe in him. Second one, remember you got the king of Saudi Arabia, you got the king, you must remember, of Jordan, you have the queen of Britain and all that. All these here are spaza kings. You understood? What you mean by spaza? They all know one day they're going to die and nobody can worship them. And they if they're Muslim, they have to worship Almighty Allah. So that's a political system they have. There's nothing to do with worshiping and so forth. Why do we have conflict? Because you caused it. Who came and invaded our Palestine? Who came and invaded Iraq? Who came and invaded, you must remember, the Muslim countries? Who's now in Mali, India, Timbuktu? Who? If you want, must I jog your memory, Alan? Your Zionist apartheid regime, you must remember, Human Rights Watch, HRW, said they are apartheid regime. They are occupational force for 70 years. Go read the Haaretz newspaper. Who invaded Iraq and murdered 500,000 children? Go ask Albright, Secretary of State. Genocide, war crimes committed by your people, the Americans. Who committed crimes in India, in Kashmir, the Hindus and the Muslims? Shrikeen and idol worshippers of the BJP. Who committed crimes against the Muslims in China if it's not the Buddhists? Who committed crimes against the Rohingya Muslims if it's not your people? So you, Alan, when I say you, I don't mean particularly you, but you, the Christians, you, the Jews, you, the idol worshippers, you, the Buddhists, should be the last one to speak, because you are guilty of state terrorism and stealing the resources of the Muslim, and then you have puppet regime everywhere. What are the French doing in Muslim Mali? What are you doing? So you come there to steal the resources. What was France doing in Algeria for more than 150 years? Alan, you better just start reading good books and don't get confused. There's only one King of King. All the others, remember, are spaza. You know, you got your spaza shop in Durban. So they're all spaza. They'll live, they'll die, nobody worships them.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. I love you, Ustad. Brother Alan, I hope you heard that. Ustad, I'm a smoker. During lunch break, if I stand next to somebody who is smoking and inhale the smoke, That's my first break, Ustad.
No, you must remember, that is Ramadan time. What smoking now? You must stay away from cigarettes. And if he smokes, you must remember, in a proper, true Islamic country, he'll be severely punished, remember. And night time, if he smokes and so forth, instead of breaking the fast with the dates and water, he breaks the fast with a cigarette. But he's making dua. Ya Allah, protect me from the fire. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Hey, Allah, save me from the fire. But he lights the fire himself, the agarbat. So you must remember this thing. That is how foolish the Muslim is today. And then Isha time, he comes, you must remember the night prayer. Then he's got that terrible smell and so forth. He's guilty of multiple crimes. One, causing harm to the Muslim. Number two, causing harm to his own body. Three, causing harm to the environment. Four, desecrating the sanctity of the mosque. Fifth, causing harm to the angels. Such people with terrible smell must not be allowed. Tell them to go back, goggle their mouth, brush their teeth, everything. It's Isha time, Maghrib time, after sunset. They can brush their teeth and everything, and they can make miswak, and then they must come in the masjid. Adabul masjid, show respect to the houses of Almighty Allah. See all of you at 11:20 South African time, inshallah, for the Arabic sermon from Makkah, and then we'll translate it, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Don't worry, Alan, we're praying for you and everybody, so you learn the true Islam, and go to the root cause, and then you will come to know who the troublemakers are and mischief makers are.
So I see Krish is saying, have you guys found out who killed our sister Nadira Venka? Krish, Ustad.
You must remember, you know, it's South Africa, my brother Krish. You know that better than me. The wheels of justice grind very slowly. And it depends which policeman you're going to get. Some policeman you get, he will take that file away also. You know how things work, Krish. So may Almighty Allah guide all of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.